chapter 20. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 20. Continue our study here. We started last week, Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. That's what we looked at. And we'll continue with that. Going through what we call the Ten Commandments, but seeing them as God's moral law for all generations. We're on commandment or law number 7, here in verse 14, where the Bible says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And we looked last week at some thoughts on, first of all, as we get started, what morals are. Morals themselves are not right or wrong, but they can be right and they can be wrong, and they're not in between. Moral simply means conduct or social behavior among humans, among human beings, etc. Right morals help protect. We had a list of things that it protects. Protects the family. It protects the purity and the well-being of people as we have morals that are right and carry those out. Morals that are wrong confuse and dull the soul, the senses, the mind, etc. We read about that in Romans chapter 1 and how as without Christ, that's where we're going to end up. Even if we practice good morals, you don't have to be a Christian to practice good morals, but the heart issue is what eventually it goes to and where it comes from. We certainly can see that in Scripture. And we started out looking at biblical definitions of wrong morals. This is a negative command, and we need to know what it's talking about and what it encompasses, where it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And we discovered that adultery in Scripture is an act of physical unfaithfulness to one's spouse. It's an action that we're going to get into what Jesus talked about, where it's a matter of the heart. But as far as breaking the command, it's something that is done action-wise. It's a sin against God and against marriage. And you can say the institution of marriage. Every time I say the word institution, Daryl reminds me, if you like institutions, that is. But it's still part of what God ordained for the home. That's the beginning of a home and family is through marriage. We want to continue on that discussion. Let's take a look in Genesis chapter 2, and then we'll look at some more after we pray. Genesis chapter 2, let's just go there. Again, we'll read about God's plan for the home and how it starts here. Way back at the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, going to read verses 21 through 25. And let's read that together. Would you read those with me, please? Genesis 2, verse 21 to verse 25. Let's begin. "And the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So here we see God's foundation for the family, starting with a husband and wife marriage relationship. They were not ashamed of each other, either in their presence or otherwise, and they were not going to be ashamed in front of others. Having that relationship, obviously, close came later, not long after that, I believe. I believe it was very quickly after that because of sin's introduction into humanity. But the Bible tells us very clearly that a sin of adultery is a sin against God and marriage as he has planned it out to be. Here we want to continue from there, but before we do, let's pray, and then we'll finish out number 3 on that thought of adultery. There's other words in Scripture we need to learn about and understand what they mean, how we can avoid them, how we can help others avoid them by God's grace. But let's pray, and then we'll continue from there. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that has the answer for us, dear Lord. Not just what is right and what is wrong, but how to do it. And if we've done wrong, how to get right with you. And we thank you for just the way you honor your word. We pray, Father, tonight, Lord, help us to learn some things that we can apply to our own life and understanding. As we interact with others, dear Lord, we all know somebody who probably could benefit from these things too. So I pray, help us, Lord, to use them for your honor and your glory and reaching a soul that might be pointed to Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus chapter 18. We're going to spend some time there, so let's go there. Leviticus chapter 18. Then I would ask for some help here. For someone to look up 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Who would look up 1 Corinthians 6? How about Gunner take that? And then let me get Leviticus here, and I got one for you, Bob. Leviticus. Let's see. How about Matthew 19, Bob, verses 3 through 9, if you would take that. Matthew 19, 3 through 9. Then how about someone, 2 Chronicles 21, verse 11. Who would take that verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 11? All right, thank you. Daughter-in-law is going to take care of that. Thank you, Abigail. That's 2 Chronicles 21. And then we could use help with Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. Hosea 1, verse 2. I thought I saw another hand. So Daryl's got that one. Thank you. And let's see. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Who would take that? Okay, Vicky's got that. Thank you. Then a couple more. Exodus 22, verse 19. I think we're going to probably not get past this area, this point. Exodus 22, 19. Who would take Exodus 22, 19? Brother Dan's got that. And then Colossians 3. I saw a hand over here. Was that Eric? Was that you? I thought I saw some movement. Maybe it was your beard that moved. I don't know. Colossians 3, verse 5, if you would. And I think we're probably not going to get past that. But if we do, we'll go from there. Leviticus 18, that's where we want to be for a moment. Under the heading of adultery, under the definition of it, we've seen it's an act of physical unfaithfulness to one's spouse. So it can only be done in the sense of who can do it. That is one who is married, one who has made that covenant, that promise to a spouse. It's a sin against God and marriage itself. And number three, the seventh commandment is a prohibition covering all sexual sins, the word sexual sins, and their violation of God's foundation of marriage. I'm in Leviticus chapter 18. Here's the verse number 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. We're going to look at this pretty much this whole chapter, and there's a lot there. But to start out with, this addresses the sin of adultery, violating the wife and husband covenant before God. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, please. And see what the Lord has to say here. Mark chapter 10. Going to start in verse number 6. Jesus was asked about a bill of divorce. Is it lawful, in verse 2, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? Divorce, as much as there is in our culture today, it sounds like even in Bible times, it was there too. And they thought, well, we're going to get him this way because somebody's going to get upset, whatever he says. Here was his answer. I'm going to start in verse 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he, that is Moses, wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same manner. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife. Let me stop right there. Verse number 10 clues us in that this was not something that was unique. This was part of their culture too, because the disciples wanted to know too. They wanted to be certain about this. I think that's a good thing, amen? And it shows us that we're not alone. We want to be certain about things. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. There's another passage that we'll look at here down the list here that describes, Jesus describes this as fornication. Here he talks about it and calls it adultery. But it's still simple, something, a breaking of the covenant through that sexual sin. And yet, he tells them that he wants, that God's plan is that they stay joined together for life. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. The seventh commandment, it involves all sexual sins that violate the foundation of marriage. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 gives us some thoughts as well. Okay, thank you very much. So Paul is telling the church, listen, this is the way, and we'll look at it in Colossians in just a bit too. This is the Gentile way. This is the unsaved way, but you're not that way anymore. You're different. You accepted Christ. You need to start to live like that. You need to be like Jesus would have you to be. So just because we're a Christian, let me put it this way, and this is what Bible teaches us, just because we're a Christian, we're not going to act like it. We have to make a decision to act like it. We still have to make the decision. Now, we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. But we can also try to do it on our own strength. Coming to church tonight, I mean, this is, you know, most people don't go to church on a Wednesday night, so praise the Lord. But we could come here for different reasons other than to hear about the Lord, to pray together, to ask God for spiritual things. We could do it for different reasons. God says he wants us to do it in his power, to live the Christian life in his power. And that's something we can do every single day. But he mentions, the point of the passage is this, that this is the way the unsaved, unbelieving world lives. Don't live this way. And adultery is in that list. Fornication, there's some others that we're going to look at later. But he shares that not only in, the point is, it's not only in the Old Testament, it's in the New, it's for the Christian life as well. It does cover sexual sins, that is the seventh commandment, in regards to the foundation of marriage. Let's take a look at this word fornication, a very encompassing word. And here, let's take a look, first of all, in 2 Corinthians 21, verse 11. Abigail, you got that one? 2 Corinthians chapter 21, verse 11. What did I say? Chronicles. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. Do what I think, not what I say. Okay? That's kind of like what I tell my kids sometimes. Okay, then we hear from Hosea chapter 1, verse 2.
The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord.
All right, thank you. In the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, prophets like Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah mentions it too. The word fornication is mainly used in the Bible for forsaking God to follow idols. Forsaking God to follow idols. We know that that could include sexual sin, but the heart is what they're referring to there in 2 Chronicles and Hosea, how they've broken the covenant. They do not want to follow God. They've abandoned him, and they have chosen idols. I'm reading Judges right now, and I'm near the end where it talks about the man who, remember, he stole money from his mother. This is how the nation went. He stole money from his mother because his mom was going to go buy idols for it with it. So he said, I'm gonna take this. Well, he did. Then he fessed up to it, and she said, well, why don't you do with it what you think best for the Lord? And the word Lord is Jehovah in the Bible. Then what did he do? He went and had idols made. And then he found a Levite who would be his priest for between him and God, but also through these idols. And this was the wild blending of the world and godly worship, and it didn't work. Didn't work then, and by the way, it doesn't work today either. We need to honor and worship God the way he says to, and fornication is what he refers to as where the heart is when they abandon his people, abandon him especially. But number two, as we understand it in the New Testament, as well as it is used this way, it's a general term for all types of sexual sin outside the bonds of heterosexual marriage. It's mentioned in these various areas, and let's start taking a look. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Take a look at verse 5. And we read this a little earlier, where Jesus is answering these questions. We want to hear from Mark, and we want to hear from Matthew. They refer to the same moment, the same time, but something is a little bit added in Matthew. We read Mark where Jesus said, the hardness of your heart, he wrote this in precept, verse 5, but from the beginning of the creation of God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Let's hear from Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. Bob's got that one.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. But therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then give commandment to give Elaine the divorcement, to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except that be for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Okay, thank you. So here's some added information that the Bible gives us in Matthew. Remember, the Matthew audience was who? Anybody recall what the Matthew audience was in mind, I should say? Would have been the Jewish people. And this was a law that they would have known about as Jesus was speaking, as they were reading about it. What does it mean for us today? The verse 8 says, because the hardness of your hearts suffered to put away, but from the beginning. And I say unto you, verse 9, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication shall marry another, committeth adultery, and so on. Let me start with this, number 3. Fornication includes extramarital relationships, and here's the blank in the parentheses there, affair. That is what we would know today as an affair, an ongoing relationship in regards to this. But what is Jesus talking about when he says, except it be for fornication? We've got to think a little bit about like a Jewish family would. In the Jewish culture, they had a covenant that would start the marital relationship. Not necessarily a dating relationship or a courtship, but a covenant. That is a contract between a young man and another family, sometimes between two families. And they would set up this covenant. And within so much time in the covenant, it would say, in so much time, I want our son and your daughter to marry. We call those today what? Arranged marriages. And it was common in the Jewish culture. I don't think it is today, but I don't know. That time between the time of the covenant and the time that they were to get married, what would we call that in our culture today? If a guy asks a woman to marry him, what are they now? Engaged. The engagement period. So there went from interest, and then their culture, it's an interest of families or interest in a young man, of a young lady and talking to the family, etc. An interest moves to a commitment. They sign the covenant to dedication. I'm not seeing anybody else. We're dedicated to getting ready for this wedding. And then from consummation from there, the marital relationship begins at the time of the wedding ceremony. That's how I believe, and there's people that disagree with me, and that's okay. But I believe that's what Jesus is referring to. He's referring to that betrothal engagement period. He's not referring to the wedding and wife and husband and wife after the wedding ceremony. Why do I think that? Because the covenant was law. I mean, it was binding. If the man or the young woman violated it sometime in between there, there's the Old Testament reference to whether she was pure at the time of the wedding. Why they don't necessarily look at him, but that's the way the Bible reads out, that the wedding could be called off because there's been a breaking of the covenant. For us today, that means that a breaking of the relationship comes before the wedding ceremony, not after. Not after. If we want to follow Scripture's plans. Let me ask you this. Does that happen in our culture today? It does. Do Christians? Does it happen with Christians? It does. Does that mean they're not Christians anymore? Absolutely not. And God uses people who are willing to be used by Him. But my advice to folks is, all right, stay with you who you're at. Stay with who you are. Stay where you are. And be that counselor for those that you can be. And show them, hey, the best thing, I would like our family to have gone through that way, but the best thing is you can avoid that if you keep this in heart and mind. That's what I believe. Again, people can disagree with me. I'll still love you. But as J. Vernon McGee said, if you want to be right, you'll agree with me. Anyway, we've had divorce in my family, and it's horrible for the kids. I can tell you, for the kids, it's like a death. And it's a death that you never have a funeral for. But then, other things happen. God can still use people, even in the midst of sorrow and disappointment. But we have to agree that, okay, here's what God says. Here's where I'm at. Lord, I want to honor you. Show me what to do now. Show me what to do now. One thing I can tell you that my mother never did, she never berated my dad in front of me. She never said, he was this, he was that. And if there's anything I would encourage folks in that situation, don't do that to your spouse. No matter what he did or she did, don't do that to them. That's right. You're supposed to represent Christ. That's what we want to do. Yeah. And doesn't mean that we have to lie. Oh, he was far better than that. No, he wasn't. But we don't have to sit there and berate one another after that. Extramarital relationship, God calls it fornication. Jesus uses the word fornication here in that regard. Let's take a look back in Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. Yeah, I knew we'd be running late. Leviticus 18. What are some other areas of sexual sin fornication covers? Leviticus 18, take a look at verse 22. As you can see there, acts of homosexual activity absolutely sin according to God's word. Verse 22, Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, sinfulness that needs to be repented of and brought before God for forgiveness and any others as well that it affects. Here's number five, acts of incest. Incest, that would be family, between family relationships that are already established. Let's take a look here in Leviticus 18. Let's start reading verses 6 through 17. It's in the scriptures, folks. I got to tell you, I don't enjoy reading about this stuff. I'll read it for us so you don't have to feel that discomfort. But it is something to keep in mind how important it is to God these relations remain honoring to Him. Let me start in verse 6 and read down to verse 17. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. When it uses this phrase, the nakedness, it's referring to wanting to see the nakedness. That's what he's talking about. Verse 11, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. And I think we're done with that. Praise the Lord. But obviously he's referring to relationships within the family are off limits for these types of relationships, and specifically sexual relationships, not to be done at all. We do see an example of this in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, and Vicki's got that.
It is reportedly commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife.
Okay, thank you. Notice the word that they used in 1 Corinthians 5. What word was it? Fornication.
Yes.
Fornication. But who is it describing? It's describing a man having a relationship with his father's wife. So she would be committing fornication, and she's committing adultery at the same time. The idea is these are under the umbrella of each, as we look at the command in Exodus. But certainly he wanted to make it clear that this was evil, it was wrong, has to stop, and thus we have it in the Bible today, which he did, by the way. If you read 2 Corinthians, he did, so praise the Lord. Then the final thought, which is where we're going to stop, acts of bestiality, Exodus 22, verse 19. All right, thank you. Then let's go to Leviticus 18 again, where we're reading verse 23, about the only verse we haven't read there yet. Here's what it says. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. It is confusion. It's not mentioned, the word or this particular act is not mentioned in the New Testament. But the idea of sexual sin without any kind of limit is mentioned in Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 5.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Okay, thank you very much. Inordinate affection, not appropriate, not right relationships and others that can be applied to in this way, but obviously still a great sin before God. And by the way, it's still illegal in America. How many knew that? This is illegal in America, and let's pray that it never becomes that way. But yet, there's other sins certainly that God does not want us to have freely in our culture. We're going to stop right there. I'd say that's enough for tonight, wouldn't you? Let's ask God to help us with the people we work with, people that are in our homes, people that are family or friends. How can we help them pursue right relationships with other people, appropriate and morally good? Let's go pray.